He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the February the 15th live edition of the Best Stocks Now show. Follow the bouncing ball, okay? That's the theme of the market here today, as it has just been all over the map. But it does have a general direction that we'll talk about here in a bit. And today we have news on inflation. We have news out of Ukraine, which seems to be the bigger impact on the market today. But right now we've got the Dow up 300 points after, what, three horrible days in a row. It's at 34,870. Over at the S&P, it's up 49 to 4550. The NASDAQ, which has just been getting trashed lately, is up 244 today. I'm seeing a lot of short covering. That's just my initial blush, as I've looked at about 50 charts so far this morning. The NASDAQ is back above 14,000, but just barely, 14,035. The Russell 2000 is up 34 to 2,055. Crude oil is the big loser today. Okay, crude oil is down $4. It was up $4 on Friday. It's down $4.68 today, but it's at $90.78. It's been as high as $95 per barrel, so it obviously is watching that Ukraine situation very closely. Gold is down. It's also watching the Ukraine situation. Gold is down $18 to $18.51. Silver's down 72 cents to $23.12. And here's the big move here today is in the bond market, the yield going up to 2.04%. It's up 5 basis points, so that's hurting the bond market today. And lastly, we've got the risk on Bitcoin asset class is up $1,800 on simmering, the simmering situation somewhat in Ukraine. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show on this Tuesday, February the 15th. And the market continues to be obviously very, very unpredictable on a daily basis here. There's several moving parts right now in the market, but the two biggest moving parts grinding away. Oh, by the way, this is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We may have Barry with us a little bit later today. We'll see. If not, we'll proceed forward. We are working on our app and our email and our website. They're all moving parts in the background right now. My job is to manage the money here during this. So what's going on today? Well, what went on yesterday? let's begin with yesterday. Let's get our sea legs, let's get our bearings before we begin a new day. Yesterday was a pretty nasty day in the market once again. The Dow was down 172 points, oil hit $92, and the rumor was that Putin was ready to go in on Wednesday. And in the background, of course, these negotiations are taking place. Putin is a negotiator. He negotiates with people. He's willing to put his troops on the line, you know, in the dead of winter as a negotiation tool against, you know, Europe, against us, other countries. And that seems to be the background of all of this. And who knows, maybe he's getting some concessions that he wants, but for whatever reason, he took a few troops off the front lines today, backed up a little bit, and that's got, I don't know that it so much has the market excited and people are ready to go running back into the market as it is. I think there's a lot of short interest out there floating around in the market right now. Between the Fed, between inflation, and between geopolitical events. And at least from my perspective, I haven't had a lot of time to look at charts. The market just opened to 40 minutes ago. I looked at about 50 charts, and what I saw is a short covering bounce. Okay, that's what I saw. That means the short, the short sellers are panicking a little bit. Maybe the Ukraine thing will simmer down, and that will take some risk off the table, and the markets will stabilize somewhat. They're covering their short positions, which means they have to buy back those shares that they have short. That's just my initial blush of what I have seen so far this morning. But the other big news today is obviously the producer price index. Okay, we got the consumer price index last week. It was bad. Oh, it was bad. And you saw a huge sell-off in the market on Thursday and Friday. And I personally think that fear of the Fed, I know this may sound strange, but for the market, I think the Fed fears the Fed, or the market fears the Fed more than it fears Putin right now. I think that is the real elephant in the room, and it doesn't help to have. Maybe Putin has picked this time to negotiate and to turn up the heat and turn up the pressure just about as much as you possibly can to try to get whatever concessions, you know, that he wants. And, of course, the French are involved. Boris Johnson's involved. Our president's involved. You've got the German chancellor involved, trying to negotiate and keep Putin from invading Russia. In the meantime, oil prices are all over the place. On Friday, we had that sudden spike in oil prices. They went up to $95 per barrel, which was a big shock. I saw that late in the day. I said, what just moved oil up $4 per barrel? Well, that's obviously the Putin premium that is in there on oil prices. Because now today it's going down $4. And, of course, the rumors were going around. And they weren't rumors. I mean, the White House did a press conference on Friday to address what they knew, that they had intel that Putin was ready to go in sometime this week. And that was sending a shock in the oil markets. Well, those tensions have eased a little bit. We don't know if Putin got a little bit of what he was asking for, what he's demanding, and then said, okay, well, I'll back off a few troops here. We don't know. Those negotiations are going on in dark, smoke-filled rooms somewhere in the background where we're trying to negotiate through the stock market right now. Okay, so that's where that situation is at right now. Now, having said that, let's move to the PPI. That's the producer price index. Okay, that comes out a week after the consumer price index. The PPI came in way hotter than expected, 9.7%. Holy cow, 9.7% is where the PPI came in at. And you know, that just enforces my thesis that I believe one has to follow in the market this year, 2022. We are in a rising interest rate environment. The PPI is not going to slow down the Fed. And if anything, it's making the Fed maybe really consider a half a basis point hike come March, okay? I mean, that just throws really fuel on the Fed's fire for wanting to increase rates to get inflation under control, because the PPI eventually shows up in the CPI, right? If these companies that are producing goods that we're buying are paying a lot more for the input, it's going to eventually come down to the consumer, and it's going to come down to the consumer real soon. So I think one of the known factors that we can build a portfolio on and an investment thesis around is a rising interest rate environment. And I'm just going to keep going back to saying what I've been saying since the beginning of the year, since late last year. This is not a good environment for high PE stocks. You get up into the 50, 100, 80, they're going to have their days. They're going to have big bounces because I think there's a lot of short interest that's built up in these stocks. But overall, as interest rates continue to rise, it's going to continue to shrink the multiple of the market. Not only does it shrink the multiple of the market, it shrinks the multiple of these stocks. There's a recalculation going on. Wow. The market looks at a stock trading at 55 times earnings and interest rates going up and says, you know what? That just can't be in a rising interest rate environment. We have to recalculate. We have to retool and revalue these stocks. And when they do that, they're finding out that the real value of these stocks in this environment is much less than where they're at currently. And that continues to take place, and I think it's going to continue to take place. I don't think that this is a safe time to own high PE, high price to sales stocks. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunnarsson. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Let me just give you a flavor here. This is not a full-blown, in any way, tech rally. To me, it looks like a short covering rally. Here's the top 15 movers in the S&P 500. Henry Schein, which is a dental stock. NVIDIA is number two. Okay, I'll give that's a representative tech stock. Now, here's the other ones. Carnival Cruise Lines, Vornado Realty Trust, United Airlines, American Airlines, Norwegian Cruise Lines, Expedia. They seem to be travel and leisure stocks. That's weird. Alaska Airlines, Xerox, Delta, Royal Caribbean. Oh, there's the second tech stock, Lam Research. Love Airlines, that's Southwest. Booking.com. And Marriott. Those are the 15 leading percentage gainers in the S&P 500. I'm just not seeing, you know, your standard tech stocks there leading the way. And at the bottom of the S&P 500, but they're starting to rebound somewhat now, are the oil and gas stocks, which have definitely had a Ukraine premium built into them, probably about $3 or $4 per barrel. And they're coming off a little bit today on this news. Now, if you turn to the NASDAQ, you see the same exact thing. The leaders in the NASDAQ are not tech stocks. The NASDAQ is not made up of 100% tech stocks. Henry Schein, once again, the leader there. NVIDIA number two. Then it's American Airlines, Expedia, Booking Holdings, Marriott International, Dentsply, which is another dental stock, Wynn Resorts, Illumina, with just a few tech stocks sprinkled in there. So there's the flavor of the market for you right now. For whatever reasons, it seems to be the travel and leisure stocks. I guess it's safe to fly over Ukraine again. I don't know. Obviously, you've got, I know there was an announcement today from Carnival Cruise Lines that could be driving these stocks, that they plan to have all their ships back in operation by this summer. So maybe that's driving all of these leisure and travel stocks. But that's not really a good sign for the overall health of the market right now, to see them leading the market at the current time. Okay, other news. There's a lot of other news out there just besides, it's not just Ukraine and interest rates, but that's definitely... that's definitely the big elephants in the room right now with the markets. Okay, and it was just yesterday that the Fed, Ballard, he seems to be one of the more hawkish guys on the Fed. He wants to front-load rate hikes to get inflation under control. Well, that's why today's PPI number is so important. 9.7%. That's the expectations were 9%. Just like the CPI, the PPI came in much hotter than expected. In fact, that CPI was the highest number, 7.5, in 40 years. I don't know where this PPI report fits in, but I gotta believe probably decades. It's a decade high. So they've got to really start hiking interest rates sooner rather than later, maybe more rather than less, front-loading it, like Ballard said, and once again, that creates a domino effect. The domino effect is all of these bond funds will go down, continue to go down, as interest rates continue to go up. We're only at 2.04 right now, and the Fed hasn't even hiked once yet. So we're now up 53, I want to say. It might be 63, either 53. We're up a half a percent already this year, since the beginning of the year. In 6 weeks, we're up a half a percent, and we obviously have a lot further to go on the upside. That has a direct impact on bond funds. I've had a few calls from people. Well, I don't need to worry because I'm in municipal bond funds. They're tax-free. That doesn't have anything to do with it. They are still subject to rising interest rates. Well, I own Ginnie Mae. I'm watching the Ginnie Mae ETFs and the mutual funds continue to go down. Well, it doesn't affect me because I have a foreign. I'm in a global bond fund. That's even worse yet because bonds all around the world, or interest rates all around the world, they're rising right now. And it's going to impact these bond funds in a very adverse way. And, of course, the longer the duration the bond, the more vulnerable it is to going down in price. Now, we have a couple of ETFs that go the opposite way of the bond market. We own TBT goes up when the bond market goes down. So you could hedge your bond fund with that. That's what we've used it for. It's going up as the bond funds go down. And we've also bought a hedge on the against junk bonds, which is they're very volatile right now. They have a horrible chart. SJB is the opposite. It's the ETF that is inverse, the junk bond market, which seems to be very, very vulnerable right now. Okay, the other domino that falls is if you lined up all the stocks, 6,000 of them in our database, from the lowest PE to the highest PE, and ones that don't have a PE means they don't have any earnings at all. They're at the front of the line when the dominoes start to fall. As the dominoes fall from rising interest rates, the first dominoes to tip over and crash are the companies that don't have earnings. Those are the longest duration stocks of all, especially, you know, the new frontier types of stocks. Okay, then the dominoes continue to fall, and then they start looking for high PE technology stocks or other stocks, the Teslas of the world. Tesla's come down considerably here since interest rates started to go higher, and Tesla still has an extremely high PE ratio. But as those dominoes fall, then they hit all of the PEs in the 200 range, you know, down to the 100 range. They're the next to fall. Then interest rates go up some more. And then it hits the PEs between 50 and 100. They're not, that's not a cheap a stock at all. That's a very expensive stock. Then it starts looking for 50 to 25, and it starts hitting that range and area of the market, and eventually, you know, it gets down to some of these sectors that actually benefit from rising interest rates. You'll see all the insurance stocks are up today. The banks are up today. The financial stocks are up today. That's how those dominoes fall. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. I want to talk about oil next, okay? Oil is kind of caught in the crosshairs of all of this between Russia and the Ukraine. But I think if you take that situation out of the picture, okay, and take a look more at the structural changes that are taking place, shifting away from the fossil fuels and shifting more towards renewables. To me, that's very bullish for oil because that transition is going to take quite a while. And I'm seeing here that there's some pretty big firms out there. Today, J.P. Morgan, okay, comes out with a $125 oil in Q2. That's right. That's what they're saying. Q2 is just 6 weeks away. They are seeing $125 oil in Q2. J.P. Morgan's oil price forecasters published a note calling for $125 oil in Q2 of this year as OPEC Plus is unlikely to deviate from targeted quota, driving a risk premium of $30 per barrel. J.P. Morgan has been bullish on oil for several months now as their team has flagged the potential for OPEC Plus undershooting quotas, a view that has thus far proven out. In other words, J.P. Morgan's been right so far. And they have become that, and that view has become a, pretty much a consensus across the street. Royal Bank of Canada, RBC, commodity team, published a note Monday morning calling for $115 oil this summer. Well, those are some pretty lofty projections. RBC sees nearly a decade of underinvestment in the sector leading to dwindling supplies. With no new supply frontiers in sight. And they close with this. With inventories falling at unprecedented rates, it may be that shale supply and Iranian barrels would be healthy for the market, where only a few months ago they would have been seen as capping a nascent rally. Well, I mean, that's another thing I'm seeing in the market so far. I've now looked at about 150 stocks here. I see buying coming into the sell-off in the oil stocks. I see heavy buying coming back into the commodities during this sell-off. I track DBC, which is a commodity ETF. The oil stocks, I just looked at Exxon, I looked at some of the others, and it would seem that these sell-offs in the oil stocks are being bought right now. So anyways, that's a couple of opinions out there, and I'm in with J.P. Morgan and RBC and seeing oil continue to move higher. All right, the Fed's George. This is one of our Fed governors out there, wants the bank, the central bank, to start selling bonds to offset surging inflation. Well, what does selling of bonds do? The Fed's balance sheet is currently $9 trillion, okay? And inflation is hitting a 40-year high. George is calling for the Fed to don't forget, the Fed owns a lot of bonds in that balance sheet. What do you think is happening to the value of the bonds that they hold? They're going down as interest rates move higher. And if they should start to sell off at an increased accelerated rate of their bonds, selling of bonds drives interest rates higher. So in other words, he's calling for not only rate hikes, but also the selling of bonds, actually it's she, selling the bonds that they hold on their balance sheet to also drive interest rates higher to ward off inflation. Is it too late? I mean, therein lies the question. Can the inflation genie be put back into the bottle now that it's out? Well, only time will tell, but it seems to me like that inflationary pressure is going to be around with us for a while. Okay, we've made a lot of money on AMD in the past. We don't currently own AMD. I don't like the cycle that we're in a rising interest rate environment. I was talking about the dominoes falling, starting with the P.E. ratios of 300, 250, 200, 150, 150, and now it's been getting into the 25 to 50 area ever since, late last year, okay, when it really looked obvious that the Fed was going to have to start hiking rates this year. AMD has gone from 164 to 115. That's a 30% drop in AMD. We sold it quite some time ago. Has the chart improved? Has the P.E. ratio gotten cheap enough to want to get back into AMD? Well, AMD had very good news yesterday. It had completed its acquisition of Xilinx, which is a good thing. That's one of the unknowns that we've had to deal with AMD in the past. But they've got their Xilinx, and now it's up to them to make that an accretive purchase, adding to their earnings. But the P.E. ratio right now is 41. That's two times what the S&P 500 is currently trading at. And the chart of AMD is not very healthy. One of the most common stock charts that I see, look, I'm a guy that takes into account fundamentals. I'm a guy that takes into account momentum. I'm a guy that takes into account valuations. And lastly, the final arbiter on all of this is just looking at the stock chart. That's not a very good stock chart. We call that falling tops. It rallies, it sells off. And then it rallies, but it makes a lower top. And then it sells off. It rallies again, and this time an even lower top. That's the downtrend. It's in the it's been in a downtrend really since late November when it peaked at $164 per share. I've been saying that a quick test on the stocks that you own or the ETFs that you own, take a look at the relative strength on a scale of 1 to 99 or whether it's A through D or whatever, and then compare it and look at the P.E. ratio. And I've been saying that I prefer stocks in this environment that have a relative strength of 90 or better and a P.E. ratio of, let's just say, under 16, somewhere in that range. So let's put AMD to the test. AMD currently has a relative strength of 86. It has a lot of back relative strength that it's still carrying forward, but its recent relative strength has been terrible. That would show up in my app, and we've got that thing calculating. We've got it updating. We've just got to put in a few more things, and it'll be back up and running again. But I would guess that the relative strength in the app is probably D+, something like that. Now let's look at the P.E. ratio of AMD. The P.E. ratio is 41. I like 16 or less. So there you go. That's what I think of AMD right now. I'm not tempted to get back into it. And here's that news on Carnival. It plans to have all cruises from the U.S. running by summer. And I think that's giving a lift to the Booking.com, American Airlines, United Airlines, Royal Caribbean, Norwegian Cruise Lines, etc. That's not really a sector that I have much interest in because it's not a low P.E. sector. All right, let's take a look. How about Square? Man, that thing is down 50% from its high now. Let's do it. Let's do the test, the relative strength PE test. Square, which is now called Block, ever since he renamed it Block, it's been going down. Ever since Facebook became Meta, it's been going down. Of course, this is Dorsey's other company. He owned CEO of Twitter, Block currently has a relative strength of 8. 92% of the stocks are performing better than it, and its P.E. ratio is 63, even after a 50% drop. No thanks. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment in a very event-packed day here so far in the market between Russia, Putin, sending some troops home. I'm sure this is all part of the negotiating process. Sounds to me like he gave them a deadline of Wednesday to give him what he wants, the concessions he wants. As he gets concessions, it seems like he pulls back 10,000 troops or whatever it is. That seems to be the process. In the meantime, the stock market is kind of held hostage during this period of time. And, you know, but I think really, I think the market is more worried about the inflation numbers that came out today, the PPI, also the Fed going forward as to just how aggressive they'll be in hiking interest rates. I'm seeing a lot of short covering going on in the market down in the garbage patch of the stocks. That's what I call it, the companies with no earnings, companies that maybe someday will have a product. Maybe they won't, more likely they won't. Maybe someday they'll be profitable. Maybe someday they'll have a positive cash flow. Probably they won't. There's a little buying there in the garbage patch today. There is some buying in the sell-off in the oil stocks here today. I would say that the charts of the oil stocks still look very, very good. All right, so let's just take a look here at a few that are jumping off the page. For me, let's take a look at insurance stock. You know, the show is heard in the Silicon Valley, and I'm sure every Silicon Valley worker wants to close their ears to an insurance stock, but they do well in a rising interest rate environment. I've been through these cycles. I've been a professional money manager for 23 years. I love tech stocks. I love new technologies. I love new inventions. I love it. You know what I've seen in my lifetime? The tech cycle that I have witnessed during my lifetime and over the last 23 years that I've watched as a professional money manager, this is just not a good time in the stock market for tech stocks. Innovation is going to continue to happen, but innovation stocks, it takes a long time to get to be. Look at Tesla. Look at the road that Amazon and Tesla had to go on to ever become cash flow positive, to ever get their services or products adopted with consumers, to get the technology up and running, then to handle the demand for their products, to eventually become cash flow positive, and then to eventually become profitable. It took years and years and years, and you have a lot of companies out there right now that were very popular in the year 2020, the COVID year. They did well. They did great. And they're down 50-60% since then because they're considered long-duration stocks. Long duration does not do well in a rising interest rate environment. Manulife, MFC, has a relative strength of 85 and a P.E. ratio of 8. And it looks like it's getting ready. It has been breaking out to new all-time highs. MFC. Okay, now let's go to we'll do a tech stock too here. Don't worry. BCC. Okay, let's go to Boise Cascade. With all that's going on in Canada and the border crossings and the price of commodities, the price of fuel, Boise Cascade wood products, lumber, the housing industry, stock hitting a new all-time high, getting very close to it today. It has a relative strength of 97. It has a P.E. ratio of 5, 97 to 5, right? 97 to 5, stock hitting new at or near new 52-week highs. Let's do a tech stock. Yesterday I gave the example. There are low P.E. tech stocks. I used the example of Micron yesterday, which we own. Micron has a P.E. ratio of 12. It has a good relative strength, 92. Look at the move in Micron today. Powerful. It's headed towards a breakout, I hope. Its all-time high was $98.45. It's just $4 away from that and moving strongly in that direction. Today I'll use Applied Materials as an example. AMAT, A-M-A-T. It has, well, it doesn't quite have the relative strength that the others do, but it has the P-E ratio of 19, which is pretty cheap for a tech stock. I like Micron better, but Applied Material would be another example of low P.E. tech stocks, okay? I gave another example, put that up against AMD. AMD has a P.E. ratio of 41, price-to-earnings ratio. It's very important in today's market as those dominoes continue to fall. Really, the dominoes began falling a year ago, and the stocks at Moonshot ETF, the stocks at ARK Funds, the stocks at many other of the innovation types of ETFs and mutual funds were the first to go. And now, you know, here we are a year later, they're down at least 50% over the last 12 months. They've lost half their value. And there's the argument, the tug of war that goes on. Is it time to get back into those innovation stocks? Well, interest rates have only begun going up. To me, they're fighting a furious headwind to try to make any progress in a rising interest rate environment. Those dominoes started to fall a year ago, and now it's spreading to the AMDs. That began late last year, so maybe 10 months, 9 months after the innovation, it started to spread to AMD and Amazon and Tesla, kind of the next level of P.E. ratios. And at the same time, this rising interest rate environment is tipping and actually benefiting. The last one I'll give out here, I've only got a minute, is a bank stock, FRBK, hitting a new all-time high today. It's a $5.38 stock, relative strength of 98, P.E. ratio of 16. I could probably name 100 little bank stocks that have those characteristics right now. So anyways, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. We've got a lot of forces at work in the world right now, but I think there's a theme that you can hang your hat on here in 2022, and I think you better get out of the way of the railroad, the freight train that's coming around the tracks in the way of higher interest rates. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST to discuss your portfolio, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.